Good evening, Azeroth, and welcome to episode 105 of the World of Goldcraft. As usual, I'm your host, the Lazy Goldmaker of thelazygoldmaker.com, and I'm going to talk about goldmaking, of course. As I do every week, I'll go through my week, I'll talk a little bit about what's going on with the game, and a discussion point, and, well, the big news this week, I got beta access! Finally! I could dive into the Shadowlands beta. So I'll just share my first impressions and some things I've noticed that are going to be interesting. I don't have any clear predictions yet, but some food for thought. Now also this week or last week, well, depending on when you're listening to this, the new podcast, The WoW Economist, hosted by Shay, one of the mods of The WoW Economy Reddit, and Jack, or Dipping Into Gold, who's returned to gold making. Well, that first episode will be out this Friday, or was out last Friday, with me and Samadan and Hikons. So do check that out for some interesting conversations about gold making. I will most likely be a regular contributor going forward, so you'll get to hear me interact with some of the other guys, which hopefully should be fun for you guys. I was also interviewed by Jack on his website, dippingintogold.com, so do go check that out if you haven't already. It might give you an interesting look at my perspective on gold making. Now, of course, before we dive into the actual episode, this podcast is, as usual, made available by my patrons, that, amongst other things, can get access to my full TSM setup. So if you're interested in that, head on over to patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker. And now we'll dive in. So, BFA, how am I looking? Well, right now I have 16.6 million gold on me, which is nice. That's almost a million more than last week. And coincidentally, my sales this week were 1 million, because as I said, I'm not planning to spend gold. I had 93,000, just 93,000 from BOEs. Which was interesting, because like a couple of weeks ago, I was maybe doing 1.52 million if I was doing well in sales for a week. And out of that, like 90-95% was BOEs. So you can really see the shift in buying patterns. People are buying my battle pets now, and I have slightly more battle pets, not that many more. This week, I sold a Hippogriff Hatchling, which is one of the TCG pets, I believe, for 250k. Took a loss on that one, most likely, because I bought all of my expensive pets back in Legion when they were more expensive than they are now, but it is what it is. Definitely getting a lot of sales in cosmetic markets, which is sort of the main volume I have posted. It's nice, I'd say. Very nice to get the 1 million week. At this point in the expansion, particularly with how little I've really focused on keeping this kind of stuff on the auction house. So we'll see. Now, I was going to say something about the Relic of the Past shuffle, that I was considering doing that on my second account, but just before I started recording, actually, the news came in that the shuffle has been nerfed to the ground for vendor shuffling. So we'll see. I might prep for some Relics of the Past shenanigans just to sell crafted gear, because I think that's going to be pretty good to sell to other players. So that's something I'm looking forward to looking into, particularly if there are specific items from the past that are turn out to be really good for initial gearing. Maybe sockets are really good. Maybe something else is good. We'll see. Either way, I think that's going to be fun. I've been looking forward to trying to make some gold off Relics of the Past by actually crafting the gear and selling it to other players. And not to mention, get access to very, very cheap crafted gear for myself, and kissing uncanny combatant gear goodbye, and never having to scrap again. Well, unless I want to craft mounts, but that's another story. So that's about it. I'm not planning to do any massive gold making pushes. I'll probably start playing more with the pre-patch, and I'll be leveling at least one other character. And maybe getting some more engineers up and running on our new main realm, because I want more sky golems. But that's about it. So Classic, what am I doing in Classic? I'm doing good in Classic. Auction house value is at 5,100, and I have now 5,900 liquid gold. So that's about 200 less gold than I had last week, but almost 1,000 gold more on the auction house. So that indicates a week gone right. My sales were a little lower, just 1,800 gold. I think that's mostly due to slacking with reposting. And not doing that as often as I've done in the past. Because I have the auction house value. Maybe I've forgotten to restock in some high volume market that typically brings in sales. That's a possibility. Definitely I've been on a back burner, or sort of like on a very low maintenance mode with Classic the last week, but I'm still making gold. And I mean, we have the 900 gold total value increase this week, so looking pretty good, I'd say. Looking pretty good. I just keep reposting the consumables because it's so good. Like the consumables, so good. All of the alchemy ones and separate charges, that's pretty much all my gold. Let's talk about the game. Well, when this episode is live, we'll be in the pre-patch. And as of recording, the big, 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 big news is the fact that Blizzard decided to do something about the Relic of the Past vendor shuffle. By introducing the requirement for the Relics of the Past, they added a vendor bought material. And for Relics of the Past level 5, you need 25 of this one, and it costs you 5 gold each. So that's 125 gold per relic, which of course completely kills the vendor shuffle. Completely. I don't mind that they did that. I don't think it's healthy for the game to have two good vendor shuffles, and Relics of the Past were definitely looking a little too good. There are many reasons why I don't think vendor shuffling is good. It's a little bit of a degenerate gameplay way of generating gold. And if it gets too effective, then that's going to have trickle-down effects, because then people are just going to focus on the vendor shuffle. Which means that eventually, like, to balance it, if you can make 20k gold per hour vendor shuffling with zero risk, then for it to be worth it for you to go pick up gathering professions and go pick flowers, you'd need like 25-30k per hour, which would mean that all of the materials would be more expensive. And it would make it harder for a regular Joe player who doesn't know or doesn't have time to do the vendor shuffle to afford like the basic items he needs to perform stuff like consumables. So I don't mind. I think the main method of inflation should be something that everyone has access to and everyone does, such as like doing emissary caches, doing world quests. Even the mission table is okay, even if it's a little too easy. But those kinds of ways should be the main way that gold enters the game, in my opinion, to make sure that the regular players can always are the ones who are generating the gold, because that makes sure that they always have enough gold to pay for what they need, if they are always engaging in the main methods of generating gold back into the economy. But yeah, outside of that, of course, there are many things going on in the pre-patch. I've talked about it in the past. Loads of people will be coming back to the game, although they might wait a little bit because Shadowlands is delayed. There will be the Scourge Invasion events where you can get a nice big bag. So you definitely want to go do that for the 34 slaughter. There's catch-up gear. There's faster leveling and new leveling experience overall, so definitely use this time to level some alts. If you don't, with Shadowlands delayed, you can level an alt and level engineering with Pandaria engineering, and you'll have time to craft a Sky Golem in time for Shadowlands, at least per alt. So if you don't have anything better to do, that's a pretty good thing to spend your time doing. A lot of people expect Sky Golems to go up in price. I'm not sure if they will, but long term, I think they're always a good item to be able to craft more of, because I've always sold them for nice profits on every realm I've been. All right, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Classic. Not much. Honor pool boosting has been killed. Which, because I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but the classic PvP system is based around just ranking yourself in terms of how much honor you have compared to everyone else in your realm. And then the top X percentage, the various, I don't know the exact percentages because I haven't bothered ranking. The point is there are room for more people at the top if there are more people at the bottom. So what a bunch of players do is they team up with players from across a bunch of realms and they make level one characters and they go kill an opposing faction character that they just place in the starting zone, and they organize this in like hour batches. And they boost through as many characters as they can, and then they delete them after they've gotten enough honorable kills to be a part of the pool. Well, now any deleted characters won't count. I don't think this will have a large effect on gold making. It's definitely going to piss off a lot of PvPers, because they're going to have to wait to get their ranks now, because there's not going to be room for all of them. But overall, I don't think this is going to have an effect on gold making at all. So it's just more of a curiosity. This week, we don't have any questions from our patrons. So we're just going to dive right into the discussion point, and it's called Beta First Impressions. I got Shadowlands Beta, finally! So I can start testing stuff out. So what have I done? What have I looked at? So what I'll focus on and talk about today is sort of the overall materials crafting system, the overall economy in terms of materials. You may or may not have seen this, but of course it's always interesting to see what are the materials, how are they generated, what are they used for, because that's going to tell us some things about like what ores are potentially the best ones to jewel crafting, what are the potentially the best herbs for inscription to mill, because that's going to be the cheaper ones or the ones that are cheapest relative to their yields. There are many ways this can go. So of course there's going to be a little bit of a speculation here, but we have to look at the overall system. And the overall system in Shadowlands is for herbs and ore only. I'm focusing on these. Leather is... I actually haven't checked leather. Maybe I should have done that. Okay, so it looks like there's some zone-specific materials for leatherworking as well. I did just check that. So that's interesting. But the data on Wawad is very incomplete on leather, so I'll have to test that a little bit further. But we'll just look at herbs and ore, which is more interesting overall to me. There are six types of herbs and six types of ore in Shadowlands. That's quite a lot, at least for ores, where we usually add two or three variants. So that's a lot. And how it functions is that for four of them are zone specific. Four herbs are zone specific. Like there's one, Rising Glory is the one for Bastion, which is the only herb. You can also find Death Blossom, which you'll find everywhere. So there's four that are zone specific. There's a common one that you can find in every zone, and there's an uncommon one, or a higher level material. It's more rare that you also can find in every zone. So for instance, if you're herbing in Bastion, you can find Rising Glory, you can find Death Blossom, which is the common herb, and you can find Nightshade, which is the Lotus rare herb anchorweed equivalent. All of these spawn as different nodes. And then Death Blossom and Nightshade, they spawn in all the zones. And it's the same for mining and ore. So that's very interesting. I think this system means that... because from what I tested, the farming speed is very different across zones. I haven't tested all of them, and I definitely haven't tested optimized routes, so I could be wrong with this, but just from trying to run around and gather Bastion, it was way easier to find nodes in Bastion compared to Revendreth, which is the two zones I've tested it. So it's like the potential supply, the potential amount you can farm for each of these materials is going to be very different for the zone-specific ones. So I'm fairly certain that the supply or potential supply of the zone-specific materials will be very different. So if we needed them all at exactly the same rate, then that meant that some of these are going to be more expensive and some of these are going to be cheaper. But we don't need these in equal amounts either. That's the other side of the coin, the demand. For ore, one example, for the shadow gassed ingots, you want to craft, then they need one of each zone-specific ore. That's one of the ways to... You can also transmute the shadow gassed ingots, So that means that you need one of each. So if you only needed shadow gassed and there was differences in farming speed, then some of the ores would be much more expensive than the others. I expect that the zone-specific herbs and the zone-specific ores will have the exact same prospecting and milling rates. But we don't know. And we also don't know how, because I haven't had time to test this yet, how the common and uncommon shared spawns. You'd assume that the shared materials should have lower rates because they are going to be more more abundant because they're be generated by farming in every zone. So that's interesting. Now for herbs, there are some more effects that are on the demand side that are going to be very important. If we're looking at the stat increasing potions from alchemy, they all require just one type of herb each. So, for instance, what was the example? I don't remember which it was. They require one each. So if the intellect potion turns out to be Biss, that's going to have a huge effect because that's going to mean that herb is going to have much higher demand. The other DPS type potions use a combination of two herbs, three of each. So overall, like which potions turn out to be the best one, this is going to have a pretty large effect on herb prices and the variation between them. And then we'll see which turns out to be the cheapest one that you want to turn into pigments for milling. So another thing, for the uncommon, for the nightshade and the alethium, the rare materials, there seem to be a lot of nodes for these in the Maw. Not that many out in the world, but in the Maw there were a lot of them. So depending on how long you can stay in the Maw, it might be very good to run around there with a druid if that's what you want. Definitely, it looks like you're getting that nightshade is fairly easy to get and shouldn't be that expensive. You can really only use it for flasks, and you can distill it and then use that to transmute shadow gassed ingots, bypassing the entire getting one of each ore part of the process. I'm not sure if this transmute has a cooldown. I wouldn't expect it to be honest. Because you just get two ingots, and if it's two ingots, that's not going to move the needle particularly quickly, that's for sure. But we don't know. So we'll just have to see. That's sort of the basics of materials. I think this system is going to be fairly intricate, and it's definitely going to be like if you want to do jewel crafting, like you're going to need not necessarily a spreadsheet, but you're going to need some pretty robust jewel crafting rates to do this properly. I do expect that... I think it might be fun to figure out which... I'm already trying to generate some data on this. So if any of you guys are in the beta and you want to help out, then I'd really appreciate it. So if you want to farm herbs or ore, and either prospect it yourself, prospect or mill the herbs, and send me the results, or you can just send me the ore or herbs you farm if you're interested. If so, just send it to Lazy Gold if you're on Alliance on the Beta Realm, or Lazy Gather on the Horde, and I'll do the processing to make some data. because I've been farming a little bit, but I don't have enough time to farm. So what I can do is I'm copying and recopying the same character over with a bunch of gold on it, and then just buying insanely overpriced materials in the auction house. I'm sure I'll be able to tell some more, share some more insights into this like overall system once I can test out jewel crafting and prospect jewel crafting and inscription as far as milling and prospecting goes, because that's going to be very important. And then for the rest, we'll have to really wait and see what the best in slot variants of the consumables turn out to be. For ore, you're definitely going to need a lot of shadow ghast ingots. They're used in all of the legendary crafting recipes for the base plate legendary items, as well as the jewel crafting ones. So getting one of each zone ore is definitely going to be important. So I expect a lot of people definitely will give incentives to farm in the slower to farm zones by increasing the price on those items. That's the only way this is going to be reaching any sort of balanced market conditions. But it'll be really fun to see how this goes and how this turns out. Guys, that's it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed. If you did and you want to read about gold making, you can do so at thelazygoldmaker.com. If you want to support the show, then patreon.com/thelazygoldmaker is the place to be. With a final massive thank you to my patrons, I wish you all a very, very good week. Goodbye, guys.